This is Shaden Smith, and you're listening to CubeCast.
This episode of the CubeCast is brought to you in part by Shaden Smith and Sarah Loof. He says, check out koi.cubingusa.com and Chesty is my bestie. Chris Bird, check out his YouTube channel MonkeyDude1313 for puzzle tutorials and general cubing videos. Frank Morris, he didn't know what to say for a shoutout, so I asked him for his favorite Frank Morris fact, and he said, Frank Morris's blood type is PLL. And finally, James Maupin, the final countdown is now stuck in your head. Oh, and so is this. Double rainbow on the way across the sky. Yeah, yeah. So intense. Double rainbow on the way. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of the CubeCast podcast. My name is Andrew King, like always, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tom Barlow. Tom, what's going on, man?
I'm fine. I've just got home, so after a crazy weekend, it's been awesome. It's good to be back. It's good to be back on the podcast as well. It's been like a month.
Literally 1 month and 2 days, I think, since episode 4.
Yeah, but you did do the USA thing, so... I guess it's fair enough.
Yeah, it was kind of to hold us over until episode 5, but after, you know, U.S. Championship, I was so drained. I got sick immediately after I got home, so.
At least it wasn't like at the start of the competition.
I think it was because the airport situation, and I was so drained.
Yeah.
And after sleeping like 2 hours a day for 3 days, I think I just, you know, destroyed my immune system to the point I caught something.
I got the impression that everyone sucked at nationals anyway. No offense.
It was horrible. Like, yeah. No one cubed up to, you know, their stand. We only had like 4 sub-11 averages.
Better than UK.
We had 200 people, so only having like a handful of sub-11 averages, not even one sub-10.
Yeah, I guess so. You did set world records, though, didn't you?
Yeah, let's just go through the list of world records, I guess, since it's been a month, and let's see how many world records we've had. 7 world records.
One was only recently, like yesterday, Austin.
Yeah, yesterday. We're an up-to-date podcast, so, you know, we're going to include everything, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so last time we talked about Ben Spirat and his 7x7 average record, and so he set another single record of 3 minutes 33, which it's insane. It's too many pieces.
Too many pieces? It's a 7x7, dude, of course.
It's insane to hear that. And also, I was really annoyed because, you know, Yohei Oka?
Yeah.
The Aramix guy, he has the 3.71 average.
Ooh, man, that's crazy. Is this the sub-4 average? First sub-4?
Yeah. No. It might be the third. It's either the third or the second. I don't know.
I saw the video. It's crazy stuff. It could have been faster if we twisted the corners correctly.
Twisted the tips.
Yeah. Is that what you call it? The tips or corners? What is it?
Yeah.
Tips?
It's weird that you don't even know anything about anything that's not a 3x3.
Hey, let's move on. Dan Cohen, 5x5. Single record, 64 seconds, 0.33.
Lobster world record.
Oh my gosh.
You need to kind of see the video to know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, the lobster little neck piece he's wearing there in the south.
Yeah.
I was actually there. I was solving a cube maybe like three tables down, and he screwed up my myself because everything was so loud.
It was so good, it destroyed yours.
Yeah. Let's see. Andrew Nelson Square One single, 10.90.
Yeah, that world record's like been progressed so strangely recently. It was like 10.96, I think, then 10.93.
Then 10.90.
Yeah.
In increments of 0.03.
Something like that. It's weird that they've all been so similar, though. You'd expect like a massive time to like sub 10 or something.
That's kind of a slap in the face, though, for the previous record holder.
Yeah. Well, I think it was full step. I think.
You can skip steps in square one.
Well, what? Yeah.
Dude, you can. I don't want to go. No, we're not going into this. David. Okay. David Wonder. I wrote down Wonder on this. David Woner. David Woner, clock single, 6.25.
Yeah, pretty cool. Do you know if he used his clock with, you know, inserts? He changes, like, he's, you know, like, in the clock, there's, like, this a picture of something, and you can change it of, like, I think he has, like, Bender on it, and a Pokemon character or something.
I have no idea.
You obviously don't know. Never mind.
I don't know. I have maybe touched the clock once.
Yeah.
One of the more recent ones, you take this name.
Oh, the you mean Seppin? Oh, no, no. Who's the one-hand one? Pity Pitched Man, you mean?
Oh, yeah, he had it just before, and then it just got updated recently.
Oh, again?
Yeah.
Should have written these things down, man. I have no idea.
PT Pitchpan, what was his time?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. You said it's been broken again?
Yeah, by a guy named Pyotr Alexandrowicz. I butchered that. He got a last layer skip and got 11.19, dude.
Oh, that's a monster. It's kind of unfair, but whatever. That's still quite cool.
I think it's the first 3x3 world record that involves the last slur skip.
Yeah.
Good. That's crazy. We're going to talk about Spiff in a bit when Mike comes on. By the way, that's our guest, guys. Mike Huey. Mike Hughey. Hughey.
You hook him and you say hey.
That's so strange, dude.
Also, you didn't mention the other record? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I don't know. Does it count? You know the 2x2 single?
Ro Hessler!
Yeah, how did you forget, man?
I don't know, I just... So 2x2. It was like, he tied it for 0.96?
Yeah, it was, his solution was like 5 moves. I don't know if it was 2-gen. But, yeah, the previous record was 7 moves. So, whatever. Still quite cool.
Gosh. I don't know how I forgot. So, this actually changes stuff. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 world records since episode 4. You guys have to stop doing this veal. Yeah, I included a veal in there. 9 world records. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. It doesn't normally, like, about a year ago, Cuban didn't really progress that quickly, it seems. But you think it'd slow down, but it seems to be speeding up with the amount of people are breaking records.
Yeah, because, you know, as the roof gets higher, it's harder to, you know, actually top it.
Yeah.
And people are just stepping up to the base and knocking them out. Hold on 1 second, I gotta burp. Okay, there we go. The live stream we had during the U.S. Championship. Woo!
Yeah, are you gonna upload that?
Yeah, I'm working on it. It just takes a while for video files and my connection, so whenever I get around to that, I will, hopefully within by mid-September.
Yeah, imagine it's a pain editing and everything mid-September.
Oh, I'm not editing the crap out of anything. I'm just going to take the raw file and just upload and just
slap. I remember I watched it, like the first day one. It's funny when you first start, you don't start it and then start it straight away. You're like, okay, so how should we do this? Like, with Joey. That was quite cool. Oh, you met Joey as well, by the way.
Yeah. No, we've actually met a handful of times before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the previous Nats?
Previous Nats, Worlds.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
But we didn't really hang out much because I was cooler than him around that.
Nice.
No,
I'm sure I'll love to hear that.
You know, there are so many people in big competitions that it's impossible to, you know, get around to everyone. So,
yeah.
It was just one of those situations where I didn't prioritize him. I'm just playing, Joey. I love you. It was a lot of fun. It was about an hour each day. The second day, I forgot to record.
Yeah, I know.
I forgot to hit the record button.
You saw it like the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. So it's an hour the first day and third day, but like 5 minutes the second day. Oh, man. That's going to be fun.
I really wish I could have gone. It sounded like Nats was lots of fun.
It was a bunch of fun. I met a lot of cool people like the Rue guy, Waffle.
Oh, yeah. Waffle's cool.
I finally figured out how to beat Rue solvers.
What? What do you mean, how to beat them?
You know, in 3x3 races.
Yeah, but you said, like, there's some kind of special technique you use against
them. There is
them.
A special technique that you use.
What? Fast you turning?
Know, no, you just go, you just give them the cube, and you inspect really quickly, and then you say, let's 3-2-1 go. Within a span of 3 seconds, and you try to get him to start solving.
Yeah, that's really annoying. I do that to Joey all the time. Like, it takes ages for me to inspect. It really annoys him.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, everyone else put their cube down, ready to go, and then there's Waffle. You know, he's taking
his
building blocks, whatever.
You don't even know what he's doing, do you?
I know what he's doing. He's making blocks on the left side, right side, and then he, I know what he's doing, though. I just can't explain it right now. Don't pressure me.
I'm sure.
It was a lot of fun. What did we do there? Oh, the third day was the most fun. It started out with Tim Reynolds and I talking about very, you know, productive stuff. It was about, you know, how Tim handles a really big competition and the organizational part of it. And then an hour later, we're ending the show with Cuber's arm wrestling.
Yeah, there was loads of people in the room.
Yeah.
I also, Tyson Mouse popped in at some point.
Yeah, he gave me a free shirt.
Yeah, I saw. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Where's my free shirt?
What the Oh, you want a CubeCast shirt? Really...
What?
You want a CubeCast shirt? I can send it to you.
No, I was speaking to Tyson. But yeah, send me a shirt if you want. I'm not going to say no to free stuff.
Oh, you're going to have to pay the shipping.
Oh, that's cool, I guess. That's fair enough.
Alrighty. It's like $5 to send it over to you, maybe?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Why are we sorting this out now?
Because we don't care what the audience wants to listen to. We just do it.
How kind of you.
PayPal. For the last month or so, my PayPal account was locked down due to identity reasons. Something about my real name Chan and my nickname Andrew, because Andrew's not my given name, my legal name. My legal name's Chan Kang, and I got that fixed. My donation button is working now. So hopefully, if you wanna send us some money, please. I need ramen. No, but we'll go over that later. Before I go on, I want to talk about American Airlines and how you should never.
This ever, sounds like it's going to be a run.
Never ever use American Airlines. Here we go. So Chris Chan and I are flying up to the U.S. Championship, and it's a two-part flight. It's from Atlanta to New York to Boston. And when I signed up online with Priceline is a good website, by the way. I used my nickname, Andrew. And when they check your ID and your ticket for security, they said, oh, these two don't match up. Your ID says Chan, but your ticket says Andrew. And so I obviously had to go back. The first time I changed the ticket name, it was no problem. But when we got to New York to go to Boston, first of all, there was a rain delay for about 2 hours. And after that, they just turned off the screen for the, you know, like rain delay. It will be updated at, you know, 6 o'clock or whatever, right? After a couple hours, they just shut that screen off and we're just sitting there for an hour and they never announced that the flight was canceled. So, like, there's 30 people sitting there and they're like, what the F? So, they said the flight was canceled. We're going to book you for a 6 o'clock flight tomorrow. So, Chris Chan and I slept at the airport. It was cold as hell, by the way.
I can imagine, like, where did you sleep? Just on some chairs or something?
The hardest floor you've ever imagined.
Was it marble or something?
Yeah, it was marble. American Airlines, I'm so frustrated. It comes 6 o'clock in the morning. I have the same Andrew and Chan problem again. Because of that, they wouldn't let me on the flight. They said, for us to change this name, you're going to have to pay me $150 just to get on the flight. So I go into Asian mode and I'm like, oh, hell no, you're not going to charge me $150. So they're like, oh my God, this guy's never going to leave me alone. So they just changed it for free.
That's so cool. They should have done that anyway, though. I mean, if they would have done it, if you'd have just argued. That's weird.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, the first time was no problem. What's the deal with the second time? So I missed the 6 o'clock flight because of that. And
so did you get, like, late or something?
We got to the competition about an hour into the thing, so.
Oh. Yeah, at least you didn't miss the whole thing.
It was miserable. But Chris Chan and I were probably the only competitors there with all our bags.
Yeah,
suitcases and everything.
Didn't everyone like else turn up and stay at some hotel like a few days before?
Probably, but you know, we didn't have the luxury. You know what happened though? We rented a hotel like 30 minutes away
from the venue.
And you know, we gotta pay bus fare and or taxi fare, and it would take like an hour to get to the venue every morning. So what happened was we just hung out at Anthony's room, Anthony Brooks, you know, Chris Bird, Tristan, right? And we were just like, oh, this is such a cool room. Can we stay here? And like, yeah. So we never checked into our hotel that we paid for.
Oh,
we just stayed at Anthony's room. Yeah. It was a better hotel and it was closer to the venue. And, you know, there were more friends.
Yeah. But did you have somewhere to sleep though, like a bed?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Why did they have extra beds?
No, I just hijacked the bed spot.
Oh. Nice.
And Chris Chan had to sleep on the floor.
I'm surprised he's not like bothered by that. He probably was.
We're both very Asian, but I just kind of snuck on first onto the bed spot. But yeah. Before we bring on our guest, Mike Huey, we talked about this last show with Ro Hessler.
Seems like a year ago or something now.
It was a month. What are you talking about?
Same thing.
Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, it sounds like you just said Rubik's then.
Lubik's. Lubix. Are you making fun of my Asian accent?
No, I'm just making fun of the way you said it.
I met the guy, Donovan, I believe, was his name, at US Championship, we got a good chat in, and apparently how you were lubing it, Tom, was completely wrong.
Yeah, I've heard this, but I don't agree with him.
You know, what he said is you gotta lube the core, so you know wherever, you know, when you turn the center, there's the spring and the screw that's spinning, and I tried lubing that with a brand new store-bought cube that I had just lying around, and it did have a lot of impact.
Yeah,
but it was
most of the friction though. It doesn't come from the core; it's for the pieces. I can't see how lubing the core would make that much difference. Also, with the store-bought, that's obviously going to make loads of difference. You should have done it to your main cube.
I did. I use it on my one-hand cube now.
Oh, really?
That's very nice. Cool. It when I used the shock oil and CRC combination, my cube was popping a lot, so I lubed the core, and then I put a little dab into the rest of the cube, mixed it around, and now, you know, my cube doesn't pop as much, and it's easier to do PLO algorithms on the cube, so.
Well, I use it on my 4x4. It's okay.
But you can't squirt a lot.
You can mess up cubes by
maybe 2 drops is enough for the whole cube. You know, yeah. I read a thread like 2 days ago. This guy says, how much CRC are you supposed to use or something like that? How much lube? And he said, and the guys are like, how many squirts did you use? And he was like, 5. And he's like, and one of the guys was, 5 squirts? No, 5 seconds. Straight spraying inside the cube.
That's ridiculous. That's like a waste.
Yeah, and he completely ruined this cube. Anyway, yeah, Lubik's Cube, give it a shot. It's really nice. The guy that created the cube, he's a good guy, and yeah, give it a shot. Yeah?
Yeah, it can work. As long as you're not an idiot and spray it everywhere.
Don't use a lot. That's number one thing. 2 or 3 jobs for a 3x3.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Bruh, bruh, bruh.
Okay.
Transition time.
Well, that was 20 minutes, dude, of us just talking. Oh, my God.
Yeah. This is going to be a long episode.
Did you know women prefer
CubeCast
for their men 1 bajillion times more than lady-scented body washes? Did you know that I'm
solving
this
cube
backwards? Yeah.
So this week's guest is Mike Huey. A little background about him. He's 2-time 3x3 multi-blind national record holder. He was the first person to do 7x7 blindfolded. And the first person to almost do 2 7x7s blindfolded.
Also, I want to note that when he did 7x7 blindfolded, I think he did it blindfolded before he did it normally.
Oh.
Is that true?
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Mike. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
That's insane. Like, was it a success first time?
No, it wasn't. I cheated. What I did was, I did the first attempt at 7x7 blindfolded, and I missed. It was off by like 22 pieces or something like that. 23 pieces, I believe. And I solved as much as I could down to the last 3 pieces. I started the next scramble. I was applying official type scrambles, although they weren't really official yet because it wasn't an official event yet. But I applied the first 2 or 3 moves to the scramble, and then I solved the commutators into the scramble.
Okay.
And I missed the scramble, so I could still say the first time I solved it was blindfolded.
Yeah. So you still have the scramble, and you never actually solved it normally?
Right.
You have the scramble that you did it blindfolded on?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Interesting.
And I never did any practice commutators before I started. I just started it, so.
Yeah, that's insane. Like, the first time you started turning it was like, oh, well, I guess you scrambled it first.
I was applying the scramble. That was the first time I turned it.
Yeah. But the first time you did an ALG, you weren't actually looking at the cube.
Right.
It's awesome.
That's crazy. The thing with your 7x7 success, which is crazy, by the way,
It's so much information.
It's just a little more.
Just a little bit more.
A little more than 6x6, I guess.
It got a lot of attention on the internet.
Yeah, that was fun. It was fun. It's been fun because I'm not really that talented at cubing, but I like to do crazy things, and it gets attention, and I like that. So.
I
bet you must have loved like reading the comments of all the people.
Oh yeah, it's fun.
Of all the trolls that don't know anything about cubing. Oh, this is fake. Yeah. He sped up.
Well, it was sped up.
Yeah, wasn't it like an hour or something longer?
Well, the first one was, I think, like closer to 2 hours.
Oh man.
The video though that I put up was my 6th successful solve. So yeah. That was down to close to an hour at that point.
That's awesome. I remember I found your YouTube channel one day, and I loved watching through all your videos. Like, yeah, I watched one of the videos. It was like a relay from 2 to 7 that you did.
Yeah.
Was it successful?
No, I missed that one too. I missed all the big things by just a little bit. Yeah, the 6x6 was off by 3 pieces.
Oh. Yeah, that's so unlucky.
Everything else was right. 7x7 was perfect.
How long did that take you?
I don't remember. It would have been probably 2 hours-ish or something like that.
2 hours
for it to do that.
It wasn't one of the bigger things I've tried. It's not as big as 2 7x7s.
Yeah. How quick was that? Like, I know it was close. Didn't quite get it. So.
The 7x7s, I think I was down to about 2.5 hours, something like that. Down an hour to memorize and an hour to solve. So.
Yeah.
You know, this episode is just going to be my cue. We just, you know, blabbling times and us just sighing.
Well, it's silly stuff. Anyone could do this stuff. It's just nobody.
Oh, BS.
Well, there are a few of us who do this, right? And it's not just me. There's Mondo who does it. And
he's crazy too.
Yeah, he is. I love it.
One of us normal people were to try it, it'd take us like hours. Like, if I tried to do a 7x7 blind now, it'd be like 4 hours alone or something.
If I tried, I would be 2 hours into the 2 hour point. He's like, I just realized I don't know how to blindfold this.
Yeah.
Or, hey guys, I just memorized corners 2 hours into it.
Well, it's really just more the same. It's just that, the 6x6s and 7x7s have the obliques, extra little centerpieces, and they're actually the most fun of all to do, in my opinion, because there's more different ways you can approach them. There are places when you're doing X centers and plus centers on 5x5 where they get in each other's way and you can't make it work. With the obliques, they're never in each other's way, so it really is easier to do.
Ah, okay.
So I really
because
think this is more fun.
Any oblique can go into another obliques?
Well, no, actually, there's 2 different orbits of obliques, so that's the weird thing about it, is you have to figure out...
So it's like 4x4 edges, sort of.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
This is beyond me. I'm just going to pass that in a couple minutes. So, anyway, Mike, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
It's great to be here. Nice to talk to you guys.
Yeah, that's an interesting point we almost brought up, though. Have you, like, learned how far are you at learning how to solve blind, Andrew? Because you said you were going to learn after that.
That's one of the troubles of having a show and saying you're going to do something. Because after US Next, people actually send me messages, hey, are you learning blindfold right now? And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
It's what it takes to get you to do it, so it's good.
But here are my motivations. Chris Hardwick, number one, it took him years. You know, he's an amazing guy. And just like throughout the years of just watching him being a badass, and I slowly built up, you know, my want and need to blindfold. And then when I saw Mike Huey's 2 7x7 almost, I was like, holy crap, I gotta get in on this.
Very good.
Yeah.
That'd be the greatest achievement I've had if I get you to do it. That'd be awesome.
It's gonna be on your grave tombstone.
Yeah, exactly.
I
convinced Andrew Kang to solve blindfolding.
Did it once, never did it again.
No, you'll do it once and you'll want to do it again.
But yeah, I'm learning M2 edges. I'm trying to become comfortable with it before I move on to corners. Should I do 3OP corners? That's what I've been hearing.
It works well.
It's up to you, really.
What's easiest? Or, I guess, what's...
I'm teaching my daughter old Pacman, essentially, so...
Yeah, Y-perm.
Yeah, Y-perm. It's really easy. And the nice thing about it is it makes you think about it in terms of the stickers.
And
that translates to the really fast methods later a little better. Your memo will translate.
Instead of separating orientation and permutation.
So it'll set you up to someday be like a world record holder type when you learn BH. So.
World record holder blindfolded. Okay. I'll be today.
But hey, yeah. All the fast guys, when they finally try blind, they're fast right away. So you could be there.
I'm fast.
Well, how fast is fast for blind? Like sub one, sub two.
Right now, you got to beat high end. But
yeah. No, I mean, like, what's considered fast in your opinion?
I would say these days it's getting where it's sub one.
Yeah.
So I bet that was a year ago. I would say.
Still hoping someday I'll be sub one, but it's gonna take me another year or two probably to get there. So.
I'd like to be sub one. That'd be cool. I've got a lot more work to do though to get that far. I've noticed a lot that the thing that you can save most time on doing blind is memo. Because it's hard to improve like execution.
For most people, that's true. For me, I mean, I really think it's really hard to be sub one if you're not sub 20 3x3.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to do, and I really don't have a prayer of doing it until I get sub 20 at 3x3, so I'm still working on it.
Mike, how close are you now?
I'm averaging about 23 now.
Okay, Mike, here's the deal. Here's what we're going to do right now. Okay, by the time I get a successful solve, you're going to be sub 18.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That's a massive group.
You heard it here, guys.
No.
Okay,
that just means that Andrew will suck at blind. He won't get a success for ages.
All right, sub 20 average, consistent.
Sub 20 might be reachable if I get really lucky and you get really unlucky.
All right, sub 20. All right, we're shaking hands right now.
For competition?
Excuse me?
For competition solves.
Yes, for an official competition, not at home.
That sounds like a fair bet. We'll try.
Okay.
You're actually going to first line.
I'll give it a shot.
All right, Mike Huey, do you agree by the time that I can get a successful blindfold solve in competition, you'll be able to sub 20 consistently on 3x3?
Oh, no. I said I'd get a sub 20 in competition, sub 20 average in competition before you.
Okay. That's fair.
The thing I like about this is I don't have to do anything.
Well, you do everything, so like, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
Or you can get sub 20 Friedrich average.
I think I already can.
Sub 15 Friedrich average?
Yeah, that's difficult.
Okay, let's take a little bit of a break on blindfold stuff. I'm getting a headache. let's go into some normal things. A little background about you, Mike. How'd you get into cubing?
Well, I started back in 1981 when they first came out. February of 1981, Scientific American came out with that article, the first article they did on it, and I saw that before I ever heard of a cube. That was the first time I'd ever heard of one. So I read the article and I decided it was fun, so I went out and bought one. And it took me 14 days to figure it out.
By yourself?
On your own?
Yeah, well, I had read the article, so I didn't understand it, you know, because I had never seen one before. I sort of kind of got some ideas from it, and I understood that algorithms were useful.
Yeah.
So I played with it for the first week with it solved. I'd play with it.
That's clever.
And I came up with a few algorithms. It wasn't enough to quite solve the cube. It was enough to get close.
Yeah.
And then I scrambled it for the first time, and I spent the next 7 days solving it the first time.
But that's a really clever way of learning to solve it, like not mixing it up the first time.
Yeah, it kind of helped. It made it easier.
Because I've noticed a lot when I get a new puzzle that I don't know how to solve and I'm trying to solve it, I always wish that I had another puzzle that was solved that I can try and work things out on.
Right. So that's what I did, and it really helped a lot. But I still struggled. I did corners first, entirely corners first. So I had all eight corners in place before I'd even start the edges. And the edges, I very quickly had a three cycle on the edges, so that once I got to corners solved, I was done, you know.
Yeah.
But it took me a week to figure out how to corners solve once.
So they first came out, and then fast forward a couple of years, I would say?
Then it was a very long time. I played with it occasionally. I played with the 4x4 when it came out. I had a Master Magic, but never had a Magic, actually. back when they first came out. And then, I was big into juggling, and I was on the juggling news group, and there kept occasionally popping up discussion about speed solving, because there are a lot of jugglers who are into speed solving, at least a little bit. So
it crosses over.
So one of the times that came up, I finally decided, I had always thought about, gee, I should try speed solving, because I had never really gotten very fast, and I always thought it'd be fun to try. And so it was end of 2006. I found my old keychain cube. And I pulled up the website and started learning the Friedrich method on the keychain cube.
That's interesting, because I've noticed that you use like a weird color scheme.
Yeah.
Is it like because of the keychain cube?
Yeah, that's the color scheme that was on the keychain cube, which it was some little knockoff thing. And It was fairly comfortable for me, because back in 1981, the cubes were Japanese color scheme.
Yeah, yeah.
So the keychain cube was almost that, except it had two opposite colors swapped.
Right, okay.
So it was still really comfortable to me, and so that's what I learned on.
You just got used to it.
I actually finished learning Friedrich F2L and full PLL and Tuluk OLL on that.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
You learned like basically the whole method on that tiny cube.
Yeah, then I finally got a new cube after that. And so
why are you so crazy, Mike? Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
How long did you cube on the minis thing for?
It was not very long, probably a little under a month.
Wait, you learned the full Friedrich in a month?
Well, full PLL, Tuluk OLL, yeah, full F2L.
That's good. But it's got to be really annoying, because you're used to that color scheme now. You have to like re-sticker all your 7x7s.
Yes, it's pretty crazy.
Oh, you can't solve normal color scheme?
It really throws me off, especially really bad on a different color scheme. That's one of the problems I have. Like the computer cube competition line, always terrible at blind, because I have to use Ryan Heiss's old simulator that won't let you change the colors.
Yeah, can't you just like use a normal sim and then do it blindfolded?
I could, but it's hard, because then you can't tell when you accidentally double hit a key or something.
Yeah. It's better to have a visual cube that you can see moving.
Yeah, it really helps to have that. So
I've never done that before. It just seems like too much.
The frustrating thing about that sim is that if you don't solve it, there's no way to give up.
Yeah, and you're going to refresh the page or something.
So you have no way of knowing what it looked like when you're done.
Oh, yeah. You can't tell if you messed up.
So the standard thing that I always do whenever I finish, if it's not solved, I start randomly spinning it everywhere I can in the hopes that it'll solve.
Yeah, in case you've, like, messed up a setup.
Every once in a while, I get them, too.
Nice.
Just bash your head on the keyboard, see what happens.
Well, start, like, do RRRR and then LLLL. And then...
Yeah.
Awesome.
Make sure it's not a plus two.
So, you know, juggling made you start speed solving. What made you want to start blindfold?
Well, it was out there. I saw Mackie's guide, and that's what I started with. My wife was on a retreat that weekend. She was gone for 2 days. And so I printed out his guide. And I spent those 2 days learning to solve.
That's awesome. What method do you use now for blind? Is it like BH?
I use BH for corners, and I use a very modified M2 for edges.
Very modified?
I use a lot of BH algs.
Oh, right. So it's like half freestyle. It's mostly freestyle, but you use like M2 style stuff to do groups of edges.
I try to use M moves as much as possible. and use the M2, you know, down front buffer.
Yeah, yeah.
Most common one. I use that as my buffer, and I, so it's a weird place to start BH, but I do a lot of BH outs, so.
That's cool.
It works pretty well.
Imagine it's very fast.
Yeah. Chris Hardwick.
Fast, so.
What's up? Huh? I didn't hear what you just said.
Oh, it would be fast if I were fast.
Yep. Oh, come on. You can sub 15 if you try. I know, Mike. You can do it. Chris Hardwick sent in a question. He actually sent in a lot of questions this week, but he was really excited to have you on. But Mike, do you still remember your first blindfold solve? And how did it feel?
I do very much remember doing my first couple big blindfold attempts, or, you know, 3x3 blindfold attempts. The first one, I got almost done and couldn't quite finish because I didn't remember an alg.
Mm. Oh.
But I couldn't remember the alg. So I, like, pulled off the blindfold without looking at the cube, went to Mackie's guide, and it was solved, and I was so psyched. But I didn't solve that first try. So then I had a couple bad tries, and then the next day I got it. So it was 2 days after I first started that I got that first solve. And it was pretty awesome.
How long did it take?
It was 45 minutes, if I remember right.
Woo! Nice. I remember my first, like, execution was 25 minutes, and the memorization time was, like, really long. Yeah. I can't even remember. I just think I did it throughout the day.
You just pick it up, memorize a couple, and you're like, oh, I'm going to die, and then take a dump, and then go memorize again.
All at a time. You'll remember it a lot better.
Yeah.
You get a success. It's nice, so.
That's what I did on 4x4 blind as well. I just scrambled the 4x4, left it there, and did a bit through the day. So the total time for that solve was like hours.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
My first 4x4 blind was 88 minutes. My first 4x4 blind attempt was 88 minutes.
Ah, okay.
And that was definitely straight through, so I was pretty exhausted after that.
I could imagine. There was someone posted a video of like 5 minutes, I think, 4x4 blind recently.
Oh yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, he got good real fast. Everybody's doing it now. He's good real fast. It's amazing.
Yes, that's too much. What's the WR right now for 4x4 blind?
Villa didn't break it, right? No word has come about that, so.
Oh yeah, he might break it again.
Well, that was supposed to be the same day, and nobody said anything, so I wonder if that means he didn't break it.
Yeah.
He holds the record. It's, what, four something. Another safety solve. All he's got is safety solves in big blind. He has
But he has the world records for them.
Yeah, in both of them.
We're going to actually have him on the show.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah. But Mike, you and I were both at US 2010,
mm-hmm.
and it says on the sheet, general performance of Andrew and Mike. I would say, I think you'd agree with me, the general performance of the whole competition was crappy.
Yeah, most of it was, definitely.
I was kind of, one of the days, I think it was the last day of the competition, they had the third round of 3x3 speed solve right at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone was exhausted, and I think everyone did like 13 averages.
Yeah, so. I was really surprised how badly some people did. Like, you see them posting averages of like 11 and 12, and then they go to the competition and get like 15s. But it can happen to anyone.
The lighting was a little off, was a little weird.
I'm sure it was.
Also, it was the AC was full blast the entire time.
By the way, the lighting was weird up there, but it was really weird in the side room, in the downstairs room. It was really bad there.
Oh, the mini theater?
Yeah, it was awful.
That's going to be annoying.
It was a good venue. It's just the light bulbs were all yellow. you know, it gives off that little weird hue off the stickers, yeah. So it was kind of tough. And combine that with no sleep and cold. Yeah.
You did all right in the first round, though.
I finally got a sub 11 average.
Yeah.
Woo!
Well, Chester was unhappy with it, but he had a pretty good multi-blind attempt there.
Yeah, wasn't it like 16?
16 of 17.
Yeah.
And a 14 of 18. Because wow. He decided 17 wasn't enough, so he went for 18.
Speaking of Chester, on the second night of the competition, you were there the whole time, right, Mike?
Yeah, most of it anyway. Yeah.
He was wasted off his mind and doing blindfold stuff.
So watch funny. Still.
You guys saw the video of him doing his reverse moonwalk?
Uh-huh, I saw
it. Oh, yeah.
It was so stupid. You and Chester shook hands, and you didn't see it, but right before he shook your hand, he spit on it.
Yeah, sorry.
You need to, like, get him back somehow.
Okay, I'll find a way.
Yeah.
He'll be always looking over his shoulder, I guess.
And he would just stand there. Okay, I'm going to go throw up now. He would just walk out the room. It's so funny. And he was still doing, like, good blindfold solves, though.
Oh, yeah, well, he's awesome. He had a sub-13 5x5 blind once drunk, right? So.
I love that. I can never do blind when I'm drunk. It's so hot.
I tried doing sub-20 keychain while I was drunk once. It was impossible. I never got it. I think I got like a 23.
Yeah.
Doing things drunk. Doing cubing blind, cubing drunk is fun. Yeah. It's, anyway, it says right here, Rebecca, with blindfold you were talking.
Uh huh. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on teaching her, and she's working on it. She still has not gotten a successful blindfold solve yet, but, she's gotten kind of close. She told me today in Toronto, she tried a 2x2 blind, there, and she was off by two corners. And, she had a solve. I was watching, 3x3 solve.
Awesome.
Sorry about that.
Ring, ring, ring.
Sorry.
I'll go ahead, no problem. We all know that Mike Huey is a popular guy.
I wonder if you're actually going to cut this out.
No.
That's just our style.
Podcast right now.
Yeah, whoever's calling, we're doing a podcast here. Mike's an important guy.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Just listening through conversation.
It's cool.
Can we step that over?
Edit that over? What are you talking about? I don't edit the show.
It's not how we do things, man. What were you talking about?
Rebecca doing a blindfold solve.
Yeah, so she did a 2x2 blindfold attempt just in the audience at Toronto, and she was off by just two corners. And recently, a few days ago, I was watching her, and she did a 3x3 where she was off by four corners. So she's getting close. She's really good with the edges. She actually has more trouble with the corners than the edges. So.
I find that surprising. Like,
yeah, me too. She uses just T perm and Y perm and nothing else. She has a lot of trouble with memorizing algorithms, so she doesn't even bother with any J perms or anything else to make it easier. So all she does is T perm and Y perm, and yet that means that she has four move setups for edges.
Yeah, the ones in the J-perm position.
And yet she still does better on edges than she does on corners. So
that's cool, though. It's still like foolproof minimalistic method.
Gosh. So she was off by four corners just a while ago, and I'm supposed to beat her.
Yeah.
That's not good. I'm not even in the blindfold phase of edges right now. I'm just trying to see how crap works. And you suspect
Have
me
you done
to.
Like a sighted solve yet?
That's what I do all the time. I just look at it and see, you know, what setup moves are. I've pretty much got all the setup moves down pat. But I would say the setup moves and the back edges kind of screw me over.
Uh-huh.
Back right and back left.
Yeah, those are hard.
Yeah.
Really?
When I undo the setup moves, I usually do the wrong B or something sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
but,
can see why that got confusing.
But I'm doing it.
Very good. Yeah, so. I sort of helped Rebecca through a solve today. What she does is she memorizes the cube, then she hands it to me, and I have her read back the memorization, and I check it, see how she did. So then she made a couple mistakes on that, but then I handed it back to her and let her had her rememorize, make sure she had it all right, and then she pulled in the blindfold, she started solving, and she got all the way to the last two corners when she forgot the last two corners. But and I told her what they were, and she solved them then. So
yeah, that's awesome.
So it was. That's the first time I think she's ever done a 3x3 attempt where she pulled off the blindfold and it was solved. So that was really cool for her. So it was nice.
Step by step.
How does she like memorize it? Is it like letters?
She just memorizes the letters. Just I wrote. That's all she does. For her, that's working the best. She's pretty slow, but you know, she's getting faster.
Talking about your daughter brings up this point that I wrote down here, cubing versus schoolwork. That there's, for a majority of, a lot of the cubers obviously are in school and, you know, so there's that balance of, should I practice an hour right now or, you know, do homework or whatever that is. And obviously, your daughters go to school, and what do you think is the proper balance?
Well, you know, cubing is a hobby and probably should be treated as such. So if it gets too much in the way, it needs to not get in the way. So, but, for my daughters, it's not a problem yet. We don't have that problem. So it's a problem for me. I spent too much
time. I think this question really applies to high school students.
Yeah, well, I have one of the big deals is when they're as young as my daughters are, they tend not to get totally carried away with cubing yet. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in a couple of years if they decide to really go for it. They might get into it really big, and then it might be a problem. But right now, it's not a problem.
I remember.
They might just not care.
They might never care, so I don't know. Rebecca seems to really enjoy it, though. Yeah. Marie, not as much. Rebecca really seems to enjoy it.
That's cool. Like, I remember when I first started cubing, I would sometimes have 10-hour cubing days.
What?
Yeah, I would wake up, eat my food, and then practice for 10 hours. You know, just learn algs, and then what practice the? F2L, do slow solves.
I get bored after, like, 1 or 2 hours.
See, I do that every once in a while with blind, so, yeah.
Yeah, blind's really addictive, I find. It's surprising that it's so much. But I find that sometimes I can go and sit and do, like, 20 attempts without getting bored of it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I never thought I'd be like that with blind, because it's quite hard to commit to doing it sometimes.
Lately, I've been trying to do 25 a day, so.
Ooh. Didn't you have your blindfold fast?
I did. So I did
blindfold fast.
I didn't do any blindfold for over a week. So then as soon as I finished that, I started doing 25 a day. I can't do any big blind. I'm still on that big cube blind fast. So I make up for it with more 3x3s.
My last 10 well, it's over 10 now. My last 10 attempts at blind have been DNF, so I've got kind of annoyed with it and not done it for a while.
It's because you haven't done the show in a month and it's just edging you. You're just like, I gotta do a CubeCast episode. You can't think straight, right?
Yeah, because I'm so dedicated Thursday
because I started doing my 25 and the first 22 were successful.
Ooh.
Then I DNF'd the last three.
Nearly had 100%.
That was amazing. What are your...
It was good too. It was like a 140 something average. So pretty good for 22 in a row. But...
Wow. Oh, well. How long do you reckon it takes before you like you start to slow down? I noticed that I lose a lot of, I don't have a lot of stamina for doing blind.
Well, actually, since I started, I now do the same thing Chris Hardwick does. I use images for the edges and I use just words for the corners. Yeah. I don't have the refined method he has of having single syllable words. So my audio loop is a little longer and probably not quite as accurate as his, but, I still do it essentially that way. And using that method, because I got the images for the edges and the audio loop is so reliable, I can go all day. I could start in the morning and solve till midnight.
He can go all day, folks. He's a machine.
It's that's nice. Really cool. If you use a method like that that's a little bit more secure, you can really just keep going. Never quit. Yeah.
It
never causes problems, so.
What are your memo times?
It depends very much on the day. It's funny how much I'm affected by how good I am on a given day. On a good day, I'm 30 seconds. On a bad day, I'm 45, maybe even 50.
So I guess maybe your turn speed we were talking about earlier is holding you back a little bit.
Yeah, Joe and I were racing blind, and one of the things we were doing was racing using blind method solving sighted. And he can solve two cubes blind in the time it takes me to solve one if we're solving it sighted, you know.
He's
way faster than me. I just can't do them. And my algs are more efficient than his.
I guess
maybe yours to be more speed optimized. Or maybe they already are. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I suspect most of mine would be fine if I did them right.
Yeah. Maybe you should just practice execution. Don't try and get sub 20 average. Just try and get sub 1 T-perm or something. Yeah,
that's what Joey said too. So I think it's something I need to do.
Yeah, I think just sit down one day and just break down all your finger tricks and algs, and then just see how you can optimize Magus for your style.
Me so much, you know.
What?
It's boring to do that. So much more.
What you? You're making a method for square one. What are you talking about? Before we go on to square one, we're talking about sub 20 averages. Chris Hardwick wants to know, how is that coming along?
Well, I mean, my times have been going down in competition a lot. I actually got a couple of 21 averages, I think, or something like that. So, in competition. So it's getting better. I think my average, my real average is still around 23. If I do average of 100 or something, it's around 23.
Alright, I finally decided. Do you know how people get on me for not being able to blindfold? I'm going to do the same thing except for you and 3x3.
Okay, sounds good.
Every couple days, I'm going to send you a message. Are you sub 20 yet?
Sounds good.
What? Do people actually do that to you?
People with me?
Yeah.
Not recently, but around U.S. Championship, people have been getting on me about it. Yeah. You know,
good for them. No, it's okay. I'm fine with that.
I'm going to...
20.
Maybe by the fourth or fifth message, I'm going to start including F words and stuff.
It's good motivation if you've been threatened.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to ask about the cubing versus score. We're just going all over today. Like, not sticking to one subject, but this goes back.
Didn't you? Balancing stuff between your hobby and
work. Yeah, in the same kind of subject area, Mike, do you think cubing could act as a replacement to other things like sports and instruments?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know. It's another
activity. It kind of does.
It's another activity. I mean, it makes some sense. I don't know. Kind of like doing math club or something, I guess.
Yeah, it's not so much like, it's more like chess instead of football.
Exactly.
So.
Chess club.
Mm. So, yeah, because I played cello all throughout high school and middle school, and once I picked up cubing and, you know, my practice time for cello dropped significantly.
Do you still play?
Define play.
Okay, so you don't practice.
No. Dude, I have so much to do with school, cubing, the podcast, StarCraft 2. StarCraft, yeah. I love StarCraft. I was actually thinking about picking up commentating games for StarCraft 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I'm actually in Diamond Rank 4 right now.
Oh, I know what that means.
Do you?
No. No, I
don't. It's the best league in the game.
Ah.
Yeah, nice. Rank 4 in that. So, in my division. But yeah, I play Zerg. My favorite build is the Baneling Bust, and you guys have no idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, not a clue.
This is for the 3 or 4 people that play StarCraft that listen to the show. But yeah, add me, guys. let's see. So I guess we can go on to some blindfold stuff and the user questions. Megaminx blindfolded, you crazy person.
Yeah, that was a great video to watch.
You've done it, right? I don't know if you haven't done it yet, but
I've done it. I've had 5 or 6 successes, but I've always felt really bad at it. So I finally gave up on it and quit doing it after. Oh, I don't know. It was probably about 20 tries that I got my 5 or 6 successes.
I noticed. You know, on the video, do you like count how many moves you are through the algorithm?
Yeah, I think I do. Back then I did that on almost everything. Even like 4x4 blind, I would do that because it kept me from getting lost. And it's really helpful if you, with 4x4, I've had a couple times when I've had pops.
Okay.
I'm like, I remember I just did 5 of my 8 for my commutator. Yeah. And so then I can go on ahead, find the piece, put it in, and then do 6. I'm good because I remember the numbers. So it's helpful. And with Megaminx, I never got comfortable with those alks. So.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I used just the 8-move commutator for the corners, but I still get lost in it because I just have trouble seeing it compared to on a cube. You know? It's just harder for me. So there are some people who've gotten really fast at Megaminx Blind. But I never did. Best I ever did was probably 45 minutes.
Oh.
Mondo was in the 20-minute range, and Istvan, I think, was in that range too. So,
awesome.
I'm more than twice as bad as them.
If you phrase it like that.
I'd love to watch someone do it. Like, at a competition or something.
So, yeah. It would be good, but, you know, I'd rather do a 7x7 any day. So.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not suggesting it should be an event at all. I'd just like to watch someone do it one day.
2011 Megaminx blindfolded, that'd be the day. Okay.
2011 Scoob!
What?
Yeah, it's gonna happen, man. I'm gonna make it happen.
No, it's not gonna happen, dude.
We've already gotten the requirements for Ron to say he'd do it.
Yeah, I know.
What?
7 competitions with it. So,
no, it's
pretty much gonna happen.
I would fight that in the post. We are currently debating on whether we should not have SKU for the 2011.
Oh, that reminded me. I was on the train on the way down here, like back home, and I thought an idea of a t-shirt for you, like a CubeCast one. It's like, CubeCast, and then it's like a cube in a, you know, the red circles with the line through it.
Yeah.
Like no, it's like
scubes allowed.
No scubes allowed. I would be like, what would be my argument against it though? I would not like skews in the events because it is not a 3x3. That would be the gist.
That makes perfect sense.
It would, oh no skews. And then it'll be like a year or two later, hey Andrew, can we have skews at your competition? Get the fuck out of my competition now. You just, you're no longer welcome. And,
I love skews.
You're so annoyed. Yeah.
I don't know, dude. It just makes me annoyed.
It's one of the events I've actually won at a competition, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I won Skube at one of the recent COE competitions.
Huh, awesome.
I actually won 5 different events at that competition, if you count Skube, which doesn't really count, but I won 5 different events, and none of them were blind.
Whoa.
That's really cool, though.
Yeah, I won Skube, I won Square One, I won Clock, Master Magic, and Fewest Moves.
Wait, the ones that don't count?
Exactly.
I'm just poking fun.
How many moves was your Fierce Move solution?
It was terrible. What happened was, I was doing, I think that was the one where I was doing Big Cubes Blind, and Fewest Moves was concurrent.
Oh, okay.
So I did the Big Cubes Blind and finished it, and I still had like 20 minutes left. So I patched in and did the Fewest Moves in 20 minutes, and I got a 38 solution, and it won.
Nice. 38's still pretty good.
That was pretty bad, but it was good for 20 minutes. I was happy with that.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you know that I think Anthony Brooks and John Tananis, they tried to speed stack a Fewest Moves in U.S.?
Speed stack.
Yeah.
Oh, they tried to stagmat it?
Yeah. Stagmat it. Oh, did I just say speed stack? Oh no.
How'd it go?
I think they got 30 something move solutions.
Yeah. Yeah, I kinda like doing that actually. When I was still doing the weekly competitions online, towards the end of my doing that, which was the end of last year, I started actually doing fastest I could, Fewest Moves.
Well, like linear solutions.
It wasn't quite linear, but you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to still get sub 40, but try to do it as fast as I could. That was
Wait. What do you mean linear solutions?
Linear solution means you only scramble the cube once, and you start turning to solve, and you never backtrack.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's
a lot harder.
It's fun.
So if you make a mistake, it's just like whatever.
Yeah, you can't take it back. So I was doing nearly linear solutions sometimes, but
yeah, where it's still one solve, but you'll kind of like do some moves to check it out and then go back.
Awesome. I would never re-scramble, but I would take a few moves back, you know.
Oh.
So
this goes into. It really doesn't really translate into, but you are recently making Square One method for blind.
Yeah, that's my big project right now.
I was really interested about this because I've tried to think of it before, but you'd have to like think about generating algorithms for every shape.
Yeah.
Is that what you're actually doing?
Well, yeah. I mean, people who do Square One already have the algorithm, but then what I've done is come up with a translation matrix sort of, so that I know for every piece that's in a given cube shape where it's going to wind up when it's cube shape. So
right, okay.
By using that, I can just perform the translation on each piece as I'm memorizing it in whatever shape it's in. And then I just perform my algorithm to get it to cube shape, and I know where they all are. I've actually memorized them that way instead of memorizing them the original way.
Yeah, so instead of, like, tracing them,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to trace to cube shape because you already know where it will be.
Yeah, they're pre-traced. basically.
Yeah, that's really clever.
Do the tracing in advance. So I've been going through and trying to do them for every case, and I've got 14 of them generated and pretty much memorized. It's pretty easy to memorize them as you go.
Yeah.
I just discovered last night, I don't know if maybe some of the ones on my list are unnecessary, but there were two that were missing. So, Yop, I guess, is that how you pronounce his name? With the puzzle page?
Yeah.
He has on his puzzle page that there are 90 different shapes, and I took one that is on Alchemist Matt's website, Returning Square One to a Cube. It's a list of algs for it, and he has 90 cases, and that's how many Yop said too. And going through them, I found that there were a couple that I needed that were missing. So I think I've covered them all, and I think I'm going to need 92, not 90. But
wow.
But it's still not much more. But two extra sets of cases. But it's loads altogether.
The translation matrix, what I do is I say, for any given piece in its final cube shape, where is it in the pre-cube shape? And so I'll take piece A and I'll ask, where is it in the pre-cube shape? And I'll get a letter.
Okay. Oh, so you like, you think of a cube shape in your head and then you start filling in each piece?
What I do is I come up with the algorithm that will solve that cube shape.
Yeah.
So then I invert that. So I take the solved square one. I invert that algorithm. Now I've got what it looks like before I go to cube shape.
Yeah.
And then I look and see where each of those pieces are, and I just write that down, and that's my translation matrix.
Yeah. I mean, when you memorize, you
so
like
to memorize. I look at a given piece and I say, okay, where will that piece? So basically, I say, well, I'm going to start at A. So with A, where is A on this cube? Well, it's at G. So then I look at G on the cube and I say, what piece is there? It's C. So if it's
A is C.
Okay, where is C on this cube? And I use my translation matrix and find out it's at Q. So then I go at Q and I say, what piece is there? And so I just go through that way. And when I'm done, I know all I have to do is apply the 4, 5, 6 moves to get it to square, and then I know where everything's supposed to go. It's just like a regular 3x3, only easier because you don't have to orient.
Wow.
Yeah, also you've it's a lot less thinking with that method, it seems. A lot less.
Yeah, it's a lot less thinking.
Because otherwise it's like doing speed blind.
Yeah.
As well as blind.
With speed blind. It is a little tricky dealing with the translation matrix, because what you're doing is first you're recalling one memorization that's a long memory, and at the same time you're constructing a new one, and it's easy to get them confused, and it's kind of a challenge. But I've had quite a few successes where I scramble to a cube shape I have already learned and solve it blindfold, and my average time is under 8 minutes. It's really easy to get under 8 minutes with it. I'm sure it's only that slow because I'm really bad at it. I'm quite sure that sub-5 is pretty easy with this. So.
Oh my god.
That's a shame. You should publish it when you're done, if you want.
I'm gonna try to do that, yes. I'm gonna try to find a website somewhere that I can stash it on and publish.
What made you want to blindfold this or create a method?
It's because of my ultimate crazy goal. I want to do every WCA event in a relay blind.
What?
One thing I can't do yet is square one, so I need to learn how.
Wow. That is insane. So even like magic. are you going to video this? Hopefully you're going to video this.
Yeah, I'm going to try, although I don't know what I'm going to do about the length. So.
All right, let's see. 2x2 to 7x7. Are you going to include one hand in there? 3x3,
one hand? That's what I got to figure out, but I don't see any reason not to do one-handed because it's easy. It's short.
Yeah.
So I might do one. And with
so you gotta do like clock and stuff.
Of course, I've gotten okay at clock. It's pretty easy.
Okay, yeah. 2 to 7, one hand, feet,
square one.
Square one, Mega Minx, Magic, Master Magic.
Pyraminx.
Pyraminx.
Multi-blind. You'd have to do just like
do two cubes. Multi-blind.
3x3, and I already did 3x3 one-handed. Well, there's my multi-blind, right?
So, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Throw in two more if it makes people happier, right?
No, I'm sure no one will complain about
it. But that. I don't know if I should do another 3x3 for 3x3 blind, and another 4x4 for 4x4 blind, and another 5x4.
No, I think the blindfolds stand for itself.
So yeah. I got to figure that part out. And then fewest moves is the weirdest one, but, you know.
Yeah, how are you going to do that? Are you going to have
well,
to speed
we did that on for a couple weeks during the weekly competition. Several of us did that. We came up with what we thought the proper rules were for fewest moves blind. The idea is that the current WCA rules say that you're not allowed to apply moves to a cube until you pull in the blindfold when you're doing a blindfold event. So that would apply for FMC as well, right? You can stare at a solved cube all you want with FMC, but you're not allowed to actually make any moves on it to apply the scramble or anything.
So you just write down the solution.
So what you have to do is you can stare at it, and what you do is sort of reverse speed blind it, kind of.
What?
And figure out where all the pieces are going to be, and then you figure out solutions to it. It's sort of kind of like reverse speed blind, and then once you figure it out, then you can pull on the blindfold. You can then apply moves to this cube if you want. It's actually a little helpful sometimes, help you remember what you're doing. And then you have to write down the solution blindfolded.
Oh, God.
Make sure, one of the hard parts is you have to make sure you keep your pen in the right place so you don't, like, the answer. So, it's a very tricky event, but three or four of us did it, and all of us got it right first try. It was amazing.
Wow.
That's great. That's stupid.
How many moves were there?
It's pretty stupid, actually. But then a lot of the things I do are, so it's just fun.
Stupid fun.
That's the best kind.
So I want to try this someday. It's crazy, but I'm going to have an awful lot of free time. I hope I can find an opportunity.
Yeah, it'll take like 6 hours or something.
Yeah.
To memo all? God.
So if I can get the square one down, then hopefully that'll actually be an easy one. So
yeah,
right now it's the hardest, but at some point I hope it'll actually be an easy one.
Oh, and then you gotta revisit Mega Minx.
Mega Minx is gonna be my worst at that point. That's gonna be the hardest one. So
God.
Go back and see if I can get a little better at Mega Minx.
All right, Mike, you're crazy, but you're an inspiration to us all. Sebastian Miner has a user submitted question. What hobbies do you have other than speed cubing?
Well, I do too much speed cubing these days, but I'm into juggling still a little.
Wow.
I've been working on trying to get better at four clubs because I'm not very good at four clubs yet, but I'm working on it. And I've always been into music. So, keyboardist.
Ah, cool.
Cool, cool.
Oh.
So, can you do what Mackie does and juggle two cubes in a hand and one hand?
Yeah, there's a video of him doing it blindfolded that way. He does the cube behind his back while juggling.
Not blindfolded, but behind my back so I can't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can do that one-handed juggling with...
Yeah, I juggle two balls... Before I start memoing on the video, you can see it. I juggle two balls and then start memorizing. So I got to hold the cube up real high so I can keep the balls in view while I'm memoing. And then I put it behind my back and solve it. And I never drop the balls. That's the hard part.
God dang. How many balls can you go up to?
Juggling? Juggling? I've had 50 catches of 7, and I've done 12 or so catches of 8. So.
Oh, cool.
But mainly, I just, the biggest thing I like is just numbers juggling. So I juggle the balls most, and that's what I'm best at. So
I need to learn how to juggle.
It's fun.
I bet I would get into it, and then I would not cube anymore or something stupid like that.
I'm like, you wouldn't believe it. Oh, it really does.
Sebastian Miner also asked, what do you enjoy most about going to competitions?
Oh gosh, well at this point it's definitely the people. I'm sure that's what everyone would say. So
yeah, definitely.
It's just fun getting to talk to everybody again and stuff. But
yeah, definitely. I guess all three of us would agree on that.
But I definitely also absolutely love every time I do a big blind attempt and it's solved.
It still gives you a high?
Solved, I'm thrilled. So.
Let's see, Tyler Amaral, he says, you are my favorite cuber. Oh, thanks, Tyler. Will you ever make a tutorial on how to solve any of the cubes blindfolded? Oh, I guess he's addressing you, Mike.
No, are you going to ever make one, Andrew? I mean...
No, Tyler says to Mike, you are my favorite cuber. And he says, P.S., good luck on your 7x7 multi-blindfold.
Oh, thank you. Someday I'll get one. I don't know what I can contribute, you know. I did make a sort of pseudo tutorial on 4x4 centers, and
yeah.
I think that was a little helpful, but I don't know how much I can contribute to regular blindfold solving because I'm just not, I don't have anything new to contribute. You know, I haven't really done a lot of innovation or any of that kind of thing.
Yeah, everyone is, well, apart from you Square One stuff, but like, everyone seems to do their own thing.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I'm just using a combination of methods that are already out there, and there's some pretty good descriptions of those methods already, so I'm not sure how much I can help, but if I thought help, I would, but I just don't know what I can do that'll make it better. So.
Well, I think Tyler's just trying to get at, you do blindfold and you do it very well. And you understand, you know, obviously what's going on. So I think he just still wants to poke in your brain at, you know, what's going on and, you know, how you learn the tricks or, you know.
Yeah, I might do that someday, I guess. But right now, you know, I'm really focused on, I'm going to try to get the Square One worked out. And then I'm going to definitely publish something for that. So.
Awesome.
That's
Tyler. If you want to ever blindfold Square One, you're going to have the chance soon. let's see. Chris Hardwick sent in like 5 questions. Let's go over them.
This is great.
What, in your opinion, is your most epic blindfold attempt? Whether or not it was successful.
The one that was the hardest for me at the time that I tried it was the 5x5 multi-blind where I tried to do 4.
What?
Now that would be easy. So I really need to try that again sometime. But back when I tried it, I was still quite bad at 5x5 blind. I was probably 25 minutes or so average on 5x5 blind. And I tried to do 4 of them. I got 3 of 4 and the 4th one was off by like 2 pieces.
Dude.
That's crazy. Though.
This is.
I can't believe you've done that.
It was absolutely insane. I felt ill. It was awful. I couldn't stand it.
Oh, man. One of the quotes from the show, 4 5x5 blinds, now it's easy. I was like, what? Mike, I'm so close to saying go screw yourselves. You know, but I love you.
4 5x5 blinds is definitely less than 2 7x7s. And so I'm not saying it would be easy to get one, but it'd be easy to try at least.
Wow.
It's not nearly as much work as it was then. Back then it was really hard for me.
Yeah.
Let's go on. We've already said too much. 4 5x5s. Let's see. What's the craziest situation in which you've ever tried to do a blindfold solve?
Definitely that night that you were talking about with Chester. Well, it's really hard to concentrate while I was laughing that hard.
Oh, I think I also went in and tried to give you a little.
Oh yeah, there was that too.
I tickled him in the middle of a blindfold, so. It was a success though, right?
It was a success, I believe. That was the successful one, right? Yeah.
Amazing. that night was
that
fun.
That night was definitely it. That's the worst I've ever had to do. So.
What's your funniest memorization location that you can remember?
Oh my gosh. You know, I really can't think of anything right now. I'm afraid. My memo system is a little different. Well, not system, but my memo approach is a little different from Chris's in that I really don't make as vivid memorizations as he tends to. I still have some, you know, that are pretty funny and pretty crazy, but they don't happen as often to me as they do to him because he really works to make them that way, and I don't as much. Since I like to do a lot of blindfold solves every week, if I make them too vivid, they'll start to give me
urge
between solves. So it's, I tend not to have them quite as vivid, and I know that, Ben Pridmore, the world memory champion, or he has been anyway, was describing his method of memorizing, and I noticed his images tend not to be quite so vivid as a lot of other people describe either. So I figure I'm in good company. So.
Well, if one image comes up that's really funny, let us know because we still have a lot of show left.
Okay.
Let's see. If you used every memory location / method that you have, what's the largest possible multi-blind attempt you could make?
Oh boy. Let's see. I haven't counted this lately.
Are you using your hands now? You could use your toes too.
I think I have 29 prepared rooms, so that's 58 cubes multi.
Ooh,
58.
Yeah.
What's UWR?
Well, I know the guy who goes by FP did 50, right? I think.
What? 50 out of 50.
50 out of 50. I don't think anyone's beat that.
Yeah.
There have been people who've done more than that, I think done 51 or 52, but that's out of like 54 or something, right? So,
yeah.
So did something like that once, I think.
Who owns that many cubes? God.
Well, I know Mondo does. Actually, yeah, I think, I don't remember. I think FP, when he did it, he was like, I don't know if he did it on that one. Maybe he did that one legitimately. He borrowed them from Tim or something. But he had the habit of he would scramble it, memo it, solve it, scramble the next one, memo it, solve it.
So he'd like he'd scramble it blind and then solve it with his blind method and then scramble it again.
Something like that. No, I mean he would. He'd like invert the scramble, or he'd have someone else do it. So that it was fairly legitimate the way he was doing it.
Yeah.
But he just didn't have enough cubes.
Yeah, it's not like he was cheating or anything.
Like a marathon or something.
Kind of like a marathon, but you have to do it a little funny with blind because you have to get the scramble back.
Yeah.
So, I see.
But yeah, that was how he was doing it. But yeah, there are quite a few people with over 50 cubes. I know, the cube that was my speed cube for about a year was one of Mondo's 50. He started handing them out after he did his 50 attempt or 54 or whatever attempt. He started handing them out to people.
That's really cool.
That was my favorite cube for a while. It was a really awesome cube.
Wow.
So did he change the stickers on it?
I did have to change stickers.
Yeah.
So, I did that right away.
Awesome. Well, I guess that's it for Blindfold and talking about Blindfold. I am pooped, and we still have half a show left.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Now here's Mike Huey with some Frank Morris facts.
Frank Morris has already solved world hunger, but he doesn't want to submit his times until he can do it in competition.
Frank Morris facts.
Whenever Gog gets a PLL skip, he exclaims, "Oh my Frank!"
I guess, well, let's move on to the most controversial topic that we're going to talk about on the show for a while. It happened 3 years ago, but it's still, you know...
I guess it was long enough ago that we can cover it now, though.
Yeah, it's still heated in some ways, I guess, but I think it's cooled down enough that we could talk about it. And that is, of course, 2007 World Championship and other competitions where... we have Machias Cutie and his whole debacle and things that go on. The reason I wanted to talk about this was a lot of people know about him and know that he was banned because of cheating and blindfold, but they don't really know the story and what happened with the WCA and behind the scenes and stuff like that. So I guess I wanted to talk about it so we can just inform the listeners.
Yeah, it was kind of kept on the down low because he was underage at the time.
Yeah, but I think he's 19 now.
I don't know.
Is 18? He? I don't know whether he's
18 or 19.
Not, but hopefully.
Well, we're not here to pass heavy judgment on anyone.
Right.
Because there were, you know, obviously. So let's go over the story.
Actually, I want to say the funny thing is they didn't want to say anything much about him because he was underage or mention his name, but if you type his name into Google, you know, you get on Google suggestions of other things to do.
Yeah,
like it just says Machias Cutie cheating.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons they didn't say his name was to protect his identity for when when, you know, future employers Google his name and stuff. But I think
that's already been destroyed.
Yeah, that purpose. Let's see. Well, number one, we have proof that he solved, that he cheated on, I think, two
proof cubes. Beyond reasonable doubt.
Yeah, this is the, and it's not just the 2007, which was the biggest event, he cheated in two cubes, right?
Well, he could have cheated on many. It's hard to say.
Well, we have proof that he cheated on that two.
Yeah, there are two cubes that were dissected, where someone actually did reconstructions of at least portions of the saw.
Was it Lucas?
Was it?
Or it might have been Joel.
I think it might have been Joel.
Yeah. One of them was in the 15-15 multi-blind. It was the second cube.
Right.
He did a setup move wrong, but instead of fixing a setup move, like he made a mistake, he solved the corners with Ortega, like a 2x2 method, and then continued solving the edges as if he just updated his memo or something. But he obviously hadn't done that. Like, he claimed to be able to use OLL in blind, but just traced where pieces went and stuff. But, I mean, come on, man.
I see.
It's not even viable. And I think the other one was 5x5.
Yeah, and blind. That sort of goes with the other one to make it look even more obvious, because in that particular case, he had all the corners completely solved, right?
Yeah.
And then he went back and messed them up and then solved them again.
Ah, yeah. So.
But, the edges went kind of everywhere.
He messed up on edges that flipped the corners around, so he redid the corners.
Well, he kind of like, I think he solved it in a weird order anyway. Like, I'm trying to remember now. Like, I think he was solving the centers, but the state of the edges while he was solving the centers was different by the time he finished the centers.
Right.
I think.
And I guess
the idea was that if he were to have done that, he could have done it just as well by sticking with his corner solve the first time. So it was clearly not possible. He was using some amazing, more efficient method when his method was clearly less efficient than the known method. So
yeah, that's the thing. He argued on the forum, or his mother argued on the forum. Well, she argued a lot of things. They tried to like sue WCA or something. Not sue them. Or maybe they did actually, but she was saying like he thought he could solve it easier, but someone pointed out that to be able to solve the corners easier, you just undo the setup moves instead of like solving them with Ortega and tracing edges, which is obviously fake. Like another thing is that I've forgotten because you said wait, I remember. Shut up. No, it's gone. I remember it while we're talking about it.
Oh, you forgot? Ah, oh, come on.
Oh, yeah, I remember now because you said I forgot. Yeah, someone offered to, fly over to his house and then he'd demonstrate the method and then he'd be able to compete again. Or he was allowed to demonstrate the method at a competition and then it'd be fine, but he just refused to do so, which is really strange.
Oh, he said, this is a real method, and people said, okay, we'll give you a chance to prove yourself, and he denied that.
Yeah. Also, there's I can't remember who it was, but someone held paper in front of him. Like,
yes, yeah, there were several instances where people claimed that when he was solving a cube, and they would, you know, this is the time before, you know, they would permanently hold something beneath your eyes, but they would put something over the cube and he would stop solving and pretend and look as if he were tracing pieces again, and when the paper was off he would continue solving.
Yeah, like there's a video of when he the first time someone held paper over him the entire time and he just DNFs, like he hadn't memoed any of it.
The there was one other video that I had noticed that I didn't ever make a big deal about, but there was a solve where I think it was a world record, one of his many world records, where he did a 4x4 blind and he had a piece pop out. And it's not hard to fix a pop on a 4x4 when you're blindfolded. There's nothing at all unbelievable about that. I've done it a bunch of times. You can't have a flipped edge. So there's no way you can go wrong. If there's only one piece out of the cube, you know where it has to go. There's no question.
Yeah.
The thing that threw me was when it popped out, it landed in his lap. Those 4x4 pieces, they're not very big. They don't take up a lot of, they don't have a lot of weight. And yet he reached down and grabbed it instantly and popped it in with not any hesitation whatsoever. Is that not possible? It's possible that could have been legitimate, but I'm not saying necessarily he cheated when he was actually solving the cube, but when he looked, it seems pretty likely that he was peeking.
Yeah.
To actually grab the piece, because if I know that if I had done that, I would have like very slowly and very carefully,
fell around for it.
Slowly tried to pick the piece up so I'd make sure it wouldn't fall on the floor, because I know if I fell on the floor, it cost me a minute or more.
Yeah.
And he didn't do that. He just grabbed it instantly and popped it in, and it's there.
So it's likely that he could see it.
It seems highly unlikely that someone would do that on a pop.
Yeah.
I think this. This whole little scandal that went on. I think it really marked the point where we realized we really couldn't trust anyone. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's 2007. The speed cubing community is about 4 years old. So we still don't have, you know, we're still in the whole, you know, everyone's nice and everyone's cool and we should just, you know, come here and have a good time. But there are there are a handful of people that will take advantage of the trust and friendliness and try to gain something out of it. I just brain farted. Let's see. Yeah, it really marked the point where the WCA really had to go, holy crap, we can't let anything like this happen again. So, you know, we have the paper over the cube rule now. And also, there were a couple instances of cheating before, right? I think, Mike, you had a story about someone being really fast.
Oh, well, that was not in an official competition circumstance. Yeah. But yeah, it's a guy who has since come on occasionally. I think he even posted fairly recently on Speed Solving. His name is Marcus Sturr. I assume that's how you pronounce his name.
Oh, yeah.
It's HR. But he had started sometime, I think. I didn't ever get a chance to go check, but it was, I think, in 2006 range. He started posting videos on YouTube of really amazing blindfold solves. He got where he was even posting sub-minute solves, and this was before Danyang Chen did his on Chinese TV that was so amazing. So he was like the first person to post videos of sub-1 solves, and there was an awful lot of doubt in the Cuban community at that point. I think I actually was occasionally looking at the websites. I started looking at the Yahoo group before I started speed cubing, occasionally. And I did see a little bit of that discussion going on. People were really doubting that he was for real, and it was just because he was blowing everyone else's times out of the water, and no one could believe it. But I started, you know, being fascinated by the whole thing, and I guess the idea was that he used some methods to make his job a little easier. For instance, he would just DNF any parity. He'd never even, he didn't even have a real method for solving parity. He knew how, but he didn't ever develop a good method for solving parity because he just DNF those. And that gave more chances to get the good ones. And when he had a really good scramble, that's when he'd really go for it. And I still believe that he was completely legit and his solves were completely legit, but there was an awful lot of doubt simply because he was so much faster than anyone else had ever been.
Yeah. I remember seeing his name around and stuff. I'd never saw any videos, but.
So he may very well have been the first sub-1 blind solver in the world.
But, he cherry picked his solves.
Yeah, but he's never been to a competition.
So. Still?
Still, I believe he's never been to a competition.
Like Guimond. but I think a lot of blindfold cubers do that too. I know I do. Like, sometimes I'll just have a scramble and I'll see like, oh, the buffer piece is already solved, or the other buffer piece is already solved, or DNF, next scramble. You know, like.
I think most of them probably do. I don't, but I just have a weird thing about not liking DNF. But most people, it seems like, do that. I know Joey couldn't ever stand it. If he had a bad scramble, he'd just throw it away.
yeah, I know. Joey doesn't even do it.
They're still trying
anymore.
To do it for hours.
So, that, would you, Tom, saying that you would sometimes just cherry pick a solve just because it's bad scramble, that goes, when I would say, this goes through my head, but let's say, Mike, I'm getting a little feedback from you. It's cool. But all right, let me just think of the words. Okay, Machias, I believe he was caught because, number one, he was a cubing celebrity, and all eyes were on him and also all the cameras,
which was
ultimately his downfall. The camera
blindfold solves on video than just about anybody.
Yeah, so that was kind of his downfall. But I think he kind of did what a lot of people would have done in those kinds of situations, because he only got caught because so many eyes were on him. And I would say, let's see, you know, there was nothing blocking your view.
So for the everyday normal cuber, oh, I forgot what this corner corner is. I'll just take a quick little peek.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there was a lot of that happening, in my opinion, just, you know.
Well, anyway.
Spectacular streak going there. He had
77 out of 77, right?
He had some huge, huge streak going. It was unbelievable. And I suspect it got tempting at that point. I have little doubt that he was, his first quite a few solves were 100% legitimate, and it probably just something happened later, so.
Yeah. Well, I still think he can solve blind fairly quickly.
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, it's definitely
still one of the fastest in the world, even now.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he still practices cubing, you know?
He does.
Yeah, he went to America at one point to do some cubing for someone, which is weird.
But yeah, I mean, my point is, you know, there's human nature that if there's an opportunity to, you know, actually help, you know, with the blindfold, I think, you know, just doing a little peek here and there, a lot of people did that, just in my opinion.
Well, I just am really, really glad that we started putting in better rules, and I think do as much of that as is necessary to really make sure that everything's secure.
Now, you know, pretty much the only way you can cheat now is getting your hands on the scramble, and we can't really, you know, regulate.
Yeah, we're liable to have to address that issue as well. I really suspect someday that's going to have to happen. And
well, there's other things you can do as well, like, say you're in the same group as someone and they go up first, like while they're memoing, you can look at the cube.
Another concern.
So all these things like kind of need to be sorted out, but it's hard to tell if they've even happened.
Right. We don't even know. There's no real way to know. So that's why I really look forward to those rules getting better. But, you know, basically if cubing continues to be popular and continues to increase, then it probably will happen. If it doesn't, then it may never happen. So it just depends on how popular the cubing community becomes, I think.
Yeah,
it's just if you add more people, there's X amount of awesome people, but there's also X amount of you know, people that, you know, could actually bend the rules here and there or try to get. There was that one guy, he averages 50 something seconds, and then he got a 13 second solve.
Oh, Shane Rowland.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Shane Rowland. He's the Def Cuber, right?
Yeah. Famous Def Rubik's. I don't want to make fun of him, but he's not going to find out. But,
you just did. That's mean.
Shut up. Like, he's really weird. Apparently, he bought like 200 VQ 7s. And he calls himself Famous Rich and Deaf Rubik's. Like, what?
That's 200 V7s?
Yeah, seriously. It's strange.
Mm. That's weird. Anyway, Mike, we talked about this a couple months ago at Lexington, but you made the point, and I really liked it. Matias, at the time, he was a miner, and he was really good at cubing, and you said that, like all great cubers, when they break world records and keep doing well, that they peak. And that, you know, every competition.
P-E-A-K, you mean, right?
What?
P-E-A-K, peak?
Yeah, as in, you know, reach the limit, reaches limit.
Not peak as in look under the blindfold.
No, I mean, he reached his limit, and, you know, people were still expecting him to do great things and break world records. And, you know, it was getting a lot harder for him to do it. So, you know, the opportunity presented itself. There was no paper under him. So he would, you know, take a peek. He would get away with it.
It's pure speculation on my part. But, yeah.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me.
You've been there and you've experienced it. When you get to be a well-known cuber, there tends to be a feeling that people expect a lot out of you. And I know it's hard for everyone who goes through that. It's not an easy thing.
I can't imagine the kind of pressure fans is under, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I just hate
to people go, you know, he finished the competition and they go only sub 9 average. Come on, Fez. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. Come on, guys. And I think
that was ridiculous.
That's crazy.
And, you know, Matias had the same exact thing, except, you know, and he was also a crazy speed solver.
Yes, he was awesome at every single event.
Yeah, right. He's only just recently lost his records.
Yeah.
Someone, I think, finally passed his last world record that he had. I think it was Master Magic.
Someone beat the Master Magic single?
I think so.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was. I'll find out.
And that's also a testament to his speed solving that it took 3 years for people to wipe out his records.
I know. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, that's a long time in the cubing world.
Yeah. It's such a shame that, you know, that's such a great cuber and a nice guy too. I've met him and he's a really humble, nice guy that, you know, this happened to him. And a lot of people were debating that 3 years was a long time. What do you guys think? Is 3 years fair? Or?
I don't know. Like, he was dishonest, man. It's definitely not unfair.
My feeling about it is, I would definitely be of the opinion it was long, except that he has never apologized.
Yeah, that's what really annoys me.
If he would apologize, I would have been ready to welcome him back pretty quickly. But under the
circumstances, he never even admitted any fault as well.
It's disturbing. Yeah. I mean, certainly did, you know, disturb a lot of people with that, and it would be nice to have an apology.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, by not cooperating, it made the job that people had to do a lot harder.
Absolutely, yes.
Also, a lot of prize money was involved.
Yeah.
With his, let's see, the, you know, world record holders, you know, Dang Ning Chen, Chris Hardwick, let's see, you know, world champions for, he denied like 9-12 people of, places in, world champion 2007 and their prize money associated with that. And records too.
Well, only three of those were blindfolded, so only three could have been this issue, so.
But still,
yeah,
But that's still
that's three. A lot of money.
There was 3x3 blind, 4x4 blind, and multi-blind.
Yeah.
And he won 3x3 blind, right, for that, maybe? I don't know.
He did. I think he won those three events.
And that's a lot of money associated. Maybe 3,000 euros it could have been that he won. I don't know. But, he never gave the money back either, so I think, you know, in combination with that, I would say I would agree with Mike. It was a long time, 3 years, which is up in February next year, by the way.
Are you sure it's definitely over? Because I thought time wouldn't start until they gave the money back and stuff.
I talked to Tyson, and this was what he said. Because he's in Europe, obviously, and Ron's in charge of Europe, and Tyson's in the United States, and this was a quote from him, and I kind of understand. If, you know, his time was up, which is February, and he went to a competition in March, Tyson really wouldn't have any power to stop him from going to a competition, and, you know, and I would suspect Ron wouldn't care either. That's my
idea. I'm not sure, like...
But I don't
we'll
think
have
the
to wait
community
and
would be so nice.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that really depends if he would be...
It'd be funny if he did.
There would be certainly people that welcome him with arms open wide, but I think a large part of the community is still sour about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Good thing he lives in Europe and not in the United States. I hope this doesn't anger people. That's the thing.
No, we just let them know what happened.
Yeah. He's a great keeper, though.
The only person we might have annoyed is Cutie, which, I don't know.
I don't think he listens to the show.
Yeah, also, many other people have already said what we've already said, and Shane Rowland, which, yeah, he doesn't listen either.
That's so mean.
It's true.
Well, yeah. Let's see. Crap, I keep brain farting. I'm so tired. It's been 2 hours.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Long show.
Yeah, anyway, to wrap it up, Matt Chescuti, great cuber, great speed solver. It's a shame that this did happen to him. And, you know, I bet if he could start over, he would have never done it in the first place. So he's a nice guy. Yeah. And let's move on. Don't send us angry emails. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. So this episode, we have two random catches of the day. We did two because it's been a month, you know, since we did our last show when we wanted to make the show a little longer than usual. So we talked about Cutie, we talked a bunch of crap with Mike and he wouldn't shut up. And we have two things to talk about. I guess both are short, but let's go over it. The new speed solving site-wide rules. Yeah.
They're pretty much the same as the old ones, but they've just been elaborated more, I guess, like explained. I hope people are still breaking them, but I guess
people are breaking them. What?
No. I think it's just like a reminder to not be idiots.
Yeah, that's my viewpoint, because throughout the years, you know, the internet in general has degenerated into what we now call YouTube comments and the intelligence or lack of behind them. And I think it's kind of rubbing off on forums like these. And we're having a lot of trolls now popping in and kind of ruining the experience for a lot of people. And
yeah, the problem with the trolls is they aren't funny.
They aren't. It would be good. I would welcome the trolls if they were, you know, funny and then kind of constructive at the same time, because those are the best ones.
Yeah,
if you can crack a joke and then contribute at the same time. What's your view on this, Mike?
Well, I think one of you guys does that pretty well, Tom.
Well, you said I'm trolling.
No, when you do occasionally kind of pseudo troll, just like Andrew's describing, that's exactly what you do.
Yeah, so. I know. I was gonna say, but I didn't want to stroke my ego anymore.
They're fun. That's the kind of trolling we need, right?
Yeah. It's usually relevant is the thing.
Like, yeah. Exactly.
When it isn't, it's in a thread that's gonna get closed very soon.
Hello. I love reading threads like, LOL, what cube should I get?
Yeah.
Oh, those things.
I used to read every post for a while. I don't anymore.
Yeah, you have, how many posts do you have? A couple thousand.
Over 4,000 now, aren't I? I think so.
Oh my God.
What? How have you got so many?
Just...
lots of posting.
Talk too much, like you can say it.
Let's see, I'm gonna find you right here. Alright, you are number 3, actually.
Yeah.
With 4,094 posts.
Who's number 2?
PJ, Patrick Kelly.
Okay, yeah.
With 4,200. And the number 1, AV Gallon. 5.5K.
Yeah. And he doesn't post anymore.
He doesn't?
Yeah, cause he's overseas and stuff.
He's on his world tour.
World tour for what?
He's traveling the world.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for him. I wish I had that kind of money.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here with my lonely 433. Wow.
Well, 433
posts. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was one of the first members to join, dude. March 2006.
I was yeah, same here. Snap.
But we just don't post. We're lame.
No, I post more these days. Like
yeah, me too.
At the start of the year, I had less than 100. Now I have over 1,000. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we're gonna post race. I'm just gonna spam in every thread and just catch up to you, dude. Or just every thread, like, I like bacon, lol, and just do that every thread.
You'll get kicked considering the new rules.
Okay, I think I agree with them. The new
How
rules.
Could you disagree?
They were pretty sensible. The ones they ever.
It's amazing.
I brought something up in the thread about it, but basically they said, like, even if you can violate the rules as long as you're not being stupid about it, like, as long as what you're doing makes sense, no one's going to bang you for doing it. It's just the people that do something that's against the rules and it's stupid that they want to curb.
Yeah.
Right.
Hopefully this will, this is the first sign of things to, you know, turn in the other direction, and hopefully not as many trolls that crap the forums. And I guess the next one is 3x3 top 100 is now sub 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a shame. I'm going to have to get sub 10 in my next competition.
You're not going to get a sub 10 in your next competition.
I will. Why won't I?
What's your average?
What, like at the moment?
Yeah.
Well, I'm about high 11. I've started to get faster recently. I looked at what parts of my server I need to improve on, and I've been doing that.
Wow.
So I'm squeezing some time out. I don't know. I get sub 10s every day, usually, when I practice.
Nice. You're a Roe server, right?
Yeah. Roe.
Whatever, shut up. Yeah, I didn't know you were that fat. I thought you were like 18 or something.
No, what the hell?
Yeah.
I have like a sub 12 video.
Oh. I don't know.
So there.
I just embarrassed myself, didn't I? But yeah, I remember back in 2007, I think I posted on the thread. I had an 11.3 single solve in 2007, and that put me in fourth in the world.
Oh, that's insane. Yeah, it's like the one-handed results compare really well to the single results.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same.
That's scary.
That cubing has progressed this much in a matter of 6 years. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's just a matter of time before we reach the human limit, don't you think?
There is no human limit.
I beg to differ.
I don't know. Someone will find a way of doing, like, sub-30 turn solutions.
And, like, so, well, I'm just saying, like, sub-6 consistently. I think that's what I said on the previous show.
Yeah, it could happen, maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, those were really short.
Yeah.
Then I guess we're going to wrap things up with Mike... with quick fire questions for Mike.
Woo-hoo.
Woo! We just wanted to, you know, do quick fire questions for Mike because he's awesome and I think he's gonna make the first question I don't really agree with, but Tom insisted on asking it.
I hope you're not offended.
And this is all Tom's credit and, yeah. Are you ready for some quick fire questions, Mike?
I'll definitely answer them all. You may not like my answer, but
whatever.
I don't know if you'll answer this one. It's so
Mike,
number one
may not be the kind of answer you're looking for, but
Okay. So number one is, which of your children is your favorite?
They're all my favorite.
Oh,
very political. Okay. Number two, Sebastian Minor. Can you hug my hay?
Hey, why not?
What is a hay when we're talking about hugging it?
I don't know.
I don't want to know.
I'm concerned about that, but okay.
Okay.
Okay, number three. What's your favorite Simpsons character and why?
Please don't say you've never watched The Simpsons, because I'm gonna slap you.
I would say that Lisa's the obvious choice, but
I think she would be into cubing if she had the chance.
Yeah, she obviously would. Yeah.
So I guess
it's just not a very interesting answer. But
yeah.
Question number four: if you had to kiss one male celebrity, who? And we're not talking just the mwah, we're talking, oh yeah, baby.
Not gonna happen.
feeling the hair and everything. No, this, you gotta answer, you gotta pick one.
Not gonna happen.
This is hypothetical anyway.
No, not gonna happen.
Okay, refusa. Tom, you wanna go?
I didn't see that coming. Okay, so. Number five is, what's the square root of two?
I don't have that memorized.
I was hoping
something, right?
1. What?
414 or something?
Maybe, I don't know.
Somewhere in that range, but I don't know. I don't have that memorized.
Okay. No, do you know like pi and e?
I do know pi fairly far, but
how yeah. far?
Not as far as I used to. Probably only about 50 digits now.
I wonder how often that comes in useful.
Never.
Yeah. I'm gonna stab you if you don't answer the 25 digits of pi.
The oldest blindfold solver in competition. He's done 10,000 digits the Everest style. So he can actually random access 10,000 digits of pi.
What?
Oh, so you just name like, oh, go to digit 5,555.
And give the next so many. Yes, he can do that on the spot.
He's like, oh yeah, it's four.
And he can do
how does it work?
He's just got it memorized random access somehow. I don't know.
What? That's insane.
You said like Everest style. Is that just the type of being able to do it?
They have an official Everest test, they call it.
Oh.
Basically, that's what it is. It's random access and asking them to give a certain number of digits backwards or forwards from a given point in the number.
That ass.
That is insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay.
So he's well suited to do this when he started because he practiced that kind of thing.
We're getting into a discussion here. This is not quick fire questions.
Sorry.
Stop talking so much, Mike.
Yeah.
Let's see. Number six. If you could have one world record, what event would it be in?
Oh, 5x5 blind.
5x5 blind?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's the one I want.
Easy, quick.
I'll never have it now, but.
Yeah.
Tom?
Sorry. I'm just staring into space. Okay, what do cake and lies have in common?
Cake and lies have in common. I was just trying out the, what did they call it? It was the Flash Portal. Game online. I've never played Portal, so.
Oh, you get the reference though. That's amazing.
Yes, indeed.
That is a win. You just won all the quickfire questions by knowing what the reference was for. And by the way, the correct.
I enjoyed it when, who was it? Was it Emily Wang that did the
Portal Cube? Yeah.
In the Nationals Championship. So that was the song from the.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I remember. And by the way, the correct answer is everything.
That is true.
And I guess the last one. Oh, it's almost over. Chris Hardwick asks, all right, I'm going to say a couple letters right now. TOPHND. What would you memorize?
The toe of a pharaoh.
What did you say at the end? The toe of a pharaoh.
Nude.
Oh.
And nice. HND.
Has he done that, like, on purpose?
I have no idea. But that's what I memorized, I guarantee you.
And then HND.
No, he did it. Like, he did it in groups of two.
HND.
Oh. Yeah. That was it. A toe of a pharaoh.
Nude.
And so I imagine it was just the toe with nothing on it.
That's weird. How would you imagine a naked toe?
That's what I do.
Does it have... Is the nail peeled off or something, or...?
No, I just imagine a toe, but I just make it a point that there was nothing on it. That's what I do.
Okay, and that's quick fun questions for IQE. Okay, I think that should be the title of the show, Toe of a Pharaoh Naked.
That works.
That would... Okay, and Mike, that's it for you on the show. Thanks for being on. It was great.
Thanks for having me.
It's been fun. Hey, you can mute yourself if you want to listen to Cookfire Questions with us.
That'd be great.
Alrighty, bye, Mike. Thanks for coming on.
All right, catch you later, man.
Okay. See ya. And Tom, and you know what time it is?
Yes, I do.
I'm so tired.
By the way,
though.
Same. I've not even looked at these questions that are for you because, you know, I just got in and then did it right before the show. So this should be interesting.
You want to go first or what?
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Okay. Quick fire questions for Tom Barlow. Tom, you're ready?
Yep.
All right. Number one, Flan Hugton. Why do you use the word like so often?
I like it.
You like the word like? You know, like?
I do.
You dig
it? What do you mean? On the podcast.
You know,
It's
you know,
habit.
People replace the word, you know, you're replacing the word with like. That's what he said.
Yeah, exactly. It's just to fill in space and stuff. Why does it make me sound like an American teenager?
No, it's a pet peeve of his.
Whatever. I like it.
Alrighty. Number two.
The thing is, while I was doing that, I never used it in the way that I normally do. I used it in the other sense.
Oh, the real way?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Jaden McCharge? I can't say.
Smooth.
Alright. If a doctor suddenly had a heart attack while doing surgery, would the other doctors work on the doctor or the patient?
I imagine they'd like split off into groups or something. Like, how many doctors do we have to work on this problem?
I don't know. You're the surgeon.
Okay, so we've got 100 doctors, so we've got more than enough to cover.
That's unrealistic. Anyway, number three, Dennis Reiser. What is your zombie apocalypse plan?
Kill zombies.
Wait.
And hide.
That's...
I'd have to, like... Oh, shut up. I don't know. I'd have to, like...
What about food, water, shelter? What location?
I'd stay at home.
What weapons would be available to you?
Well, there's no guns anywhere near. I'd have to have a baseball bat. Actually, I'd try to, like, drive to the supermarket near me, hold out there with food for as long as possible. And also the car's, like, a weapon. But I'd have to, like... I've only got, like, a baseball bat, so... Yeah, I try and make my way to the supermarket, but that might not be very secure, and that'd be scary.
You know, you could duct tape a knife to a baseball bat.
That works.
Go for the head. Anyway, yeah. Number four, Chris Hardwick asks, now that foreign member Sakari has done Terra Cage on the Terra Mix, is pressure on to be the first to do the Peta Cage?
I'd love to do it, but... I don't have a Petamix or a Terramix. I'd like to do, I don't know, some other puzzle. I tried to do something like that on the Megaminx, like Corners First, but it's just nasty. If someone wants to give me a Petamix, I'll happily cage it.
How much are they?
Like 3 grand or something.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Maybe
you can borrow it one day, yeah.
Number
five, David Lynn. If you could only have one more competition in your life, which event would you practice most?
3x3 speed, definitely. Actually, maybe 4x4, because I don't have a sub-1 average yet. So, I'd probably 4x4 or 3x3. I'm not sure. Like, because I really feel like I should get a good 4x4 average, but I do still like 3x3 more anyway.
Okay. Number 6, Anthony Fong. Hugh Larry comes to your house and beats you with a cane until you become unconscious. You wake up and look in the mirror. You now have Hugh Larry's face. And what's worse, you're about to act in a scene in the television series House. In this situation, do you think you could pull off a Hugh Larry American accent?
Oh, I didn't know who you meant until it's Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie, whatever.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Can't do an American accent anyway. It's so difficult.
Really?
When I do it, I'm not even gonna try now. It'll sound so bad. But when I do it, it sounds really stereotypically like surfer dude thing.
You think we all talk like surfer dudes?
You all do.
No, we don't. You're gonna get some emails, I bet, about that. Anyway, number 7, Dongyu Kim. Korean dude. Why does your profile picture on Speed Solving feature a vampire emo or a person? Vampire / emo person.
I've answered this before, just because he's cool.
Oh, that's Aki. He's talking about Aki.
Yeah. Okay. I've changed it recently, though, actually. It's like a hedgehog at the moment.
Hedgehog?
And before that, it was just
The Sonic picture.
Yeah.
I know.
I change it, man. Someone, people should like submit ideas. What should I change it to next?
How do you like my picture?
The bacon. It's awesome.
It's amazing.
When you switched to it, I was like, oh, that's cool. That's very cool. All
right. Number 8, final question. Chris Hardwick, once CubeCast podcast go syndicated on XM radio, what will your DJ name be?
DJ Colorful.
Minus what? DJ FR, fried
What's
rice.
That's awesome.
I love fried rice. And that's it for you.
Okay, cool. Are you ready for this?
I'm hungry. Can I eat before this?
If you want, what food do you have?
Chicken. Teriyaki.
Go for it.
No, you can just go.
I thought you were actually going to do it then.
No.
Okay. So, Edward King asks, are you the man who can make sense of Guimond?
What?
Can you make sense of Guimond?
Who's... Oh, Guimond. Gus Guimond? Is that his name?
No. Gitan.
I don't know. I have exactly 0% idea what you're talking about.
You really should... I can't believe you've not seen his posts around. Like, they're just like nonsensical rants about how he was the first to sort of blindfolded on TV and then a weird video of the good, the bad, and the ugly. And some Cuban stuff. It's very strange.
No, I have no.
Apparently, like, most people think he doesn't make sense because they don't think he can speak English properly. But apparently he doesn't make sense in his native language either. So.
Okay, but I have no idea who he is.
So you obviously don't then.
No.
Okay. The second question is peanut butter and jelly or ham and cheese? Ham and cheese?
Ham and cheese? No, PB&J. That was a stupid question. Who sent that in? Who sent that
Edward
in?
Edward King again.
What?
Edward King.
Okay. It's not like I'm going to fight him or something.
But really, it should be peanut butter and jam.
Peanut butter and jelly. What are you talking about?
Because we'd have to call it like peanut butter and...
Just move on to the next question.
Shut up. Like, peanut butter and jelly, like, to me, is like peanut butter and gelatin.
Oh. It's kind of the same thing, anyway.
Not really. I wouldn't really put those two together.
Anyway, number 3, go.
Yeah. You have 30 seconds left to live. What's the first thing that crosses your mind? Quick!
Oh, I have 30 seconds. Hold on.
You can't do that. It should just spring.
I would grab a pen and paper and then, I don't know. I would write a will, give everything to my brother.
Oh. Yeah. That's quite nice, I guess. Don't know what I'd do.
That was a sad one. Yeah. The show just turned depressing. Thank you, Tom.
It's not my fault.
What?
It's not my fault. It's Edward King's fault.
Yeah, Edward, stop making me depressed.
Okay. Cornelius Diekman asks, if you had a one-move cross at 3x3 speed in a competition, would you go for it? Now, I assume he means on a color that isn't white. Because
no, hell no. Only if it was yellow, though.
What if it was, like, one-handed?
No. Oh, I can only do yellow cross. Yellow and white. No, I can't do it.
You suck.
I would be like, oh, that's cool. Now onto my white cross. That's what would go through my head.
That's terrible. Yeah. Anyway, Chris Hardwick says, how many slices of bacon could you eat in the amount of time it would take Mike to do an epic 2-7 blindfold relay?
How long does it take for him to do that?
I'm not sure. Is Mike still there? Can he see?
About...
Like 2.5 hours?
2 hours. 2 hours, 15 minutes.
How much bacon can I eat?
Yeah.
Well, I've never tried.
Guesstimate.
I would, God, how much money do I, it would depend on how much money I have.
Infinite.
I would say, you know, a couple plates worth before I puke.
Yeah.
And then I would say, I
start
have more room.
Again.
Yeah, start again.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
I don't know. Okay. I, when it comes to bacon, I just like to savor the flavor. I can't eat so much.
Yeah.
I can only eat a couple strips at a time. But I just love, you know, slowly savoring the flavor. Yeah.
Okay. Chris also asks, if hypothetically the community were hypothetically going to give you a gift as a thank you for all the hard work we put into the podcast, how many skews would you want us to get for you?
I would like an email instead just saying, we were thinking of getting you skews, but we decided against it. That would be better than actually getting me the skews.
I think my favorite type of skew is the QJ. I have like 3 skews now.
There's different... There's different types of skews?
Yeah, man. There's like, there's Mefferts, Lanlan, and QJ, I think. There might be more even, but they're just the ones I have.
That's another strike against giving up on humanity. That's that right there.
Okay. Question 7. Mike McGew asks, have you ever blown a spit bubble in your mouth and have it land on something? When it lands on this object, it stays in bubble form and doesn't pop.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I have. A
couple times. But I always do it on accident. I can never do it on purpose.
Right, okay.
They're really hard to make.
Never really tried that.
That's you should try it and be frustrated.
Okay, final question. This is pretty funny. It's Dan Mucklow asks, which was the first CLL you learnt? Whoops, this question is for Tom.
Are you trying to insult me?
No. Like, I don't know. He sent this question to me and then sent another email saying it was meant for me.
I don't know any CLLs.
Sure you do. You know soon.
Well, anything that's apart from that. Anything
so
more advanced.
What was the first OLL you learned?
My first OLL I learned is FURURF.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That'll do. That's one of the quickest cases. It's like the second quickest CLL, I think.
Oh. Well, I know CLLs. Woo!
Well, of course you do. T-perm's a CLL.
I don't even know what CLLs are. Explain.
It's a 2x2 last layer. It's 1 in 48. It's where you do the corners in one alg.
Oh.
Make a layer, then do the corners.
I understand.
Yeah.
I just learned something. Woo. I'm a dumbass. Yay.
Okay, that's you.
What?
Sweet. Those are your questions for this week.
Oh, yes. Thank you. If you want to send us quick fire questions, if you want to ask Tom a question, send it to me, which is at cubeandrew@gmail.com. If you want to ask me a question, which one did I just say?
You just said ask me a question.
Okay, let's start over. If you want to ask Tom a question, send that to cubeandrew@gmail.com. If you want to ask me a question, send that to Tom, which is at cubetom@gmail.com, and that's Tom with T-H-O-M. And we really need the questions. We're out. We're getting low. I don't have any more.
Our supply is running low.
Yeah. Send us some questions. You can make it, you know, about anything as long as it's appropriate. Don't make it, you know, curse words or, you know, profanity or, you know, about body parts and send those to us. We have a lot of fun doing them. Next week is going to be Sarah Strong.
Should be fun.
It's not next week. In about 2 weeks. Next episode is Sarah Strong. If you have any questions for her, send that to cubecast@gmail.com. If you have any quickfire questions that you want to ask her, send that to the same email as well. We have a website now, cubecastpodcast.com. That's where you can get these episodes. We're working on getting the show on iTunes. So hold on about that. We fixed the donate button. So on the website, if you feel like the show is something awesome and worth contributing to financially, because this show does take money and a lot of time to make, there is the donate button on the right side of the website, and it is greatly appreciated, and we would give you a shout out in the beginning of the episode to just kind of highlight you and appreciate you, I guess. Tom, anything you want to say before you go?
Is this episode 5 or episode 6?
Episode 5.
Okay.
The US stream counts as 4.5. So, yeah. And this episode is 2.5 hours long. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. The recording time is like two hours and 40 minutes. I hope you save this time. If this gets deleted, I'll go mental.
I'm going to make like 4 copies of it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're exhausted. Thanks for listening to the show. And if it's too long for your tastes, just, I don't care. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is episode 5. See you guys next time.
Catch you later.
Bye.